Oh my gosh.
Yeah. No, you're back. You're back now.
Riverside!
Yeah, to do it with the kid. Riverside! Riverside, motherfucker.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to Learn Videography, a podcast dedicated to mastering the art and business of becoming a full-time videographer. Presented by Industry Jump. Great. Hosted by director Kyle Loftus and producer JJ Englert. Let's go!
Welcome back to Learn Videography, your podcast to learn everything you need to know about becoming a full-time videographer. As always, I'm here with my co-host, Kyle Loftus. Today, we're talking about the best ways to structure your business, including topics creating a business bank account, when to incorporate an LLC, looking into business insurance, bookkeeping and budgeting, how to track your business expenses, and how to prepare for taxes each year. It's a doozy. Listen, you might be thinking this is boring, and it kind of is, but it's also really essential. And if you want to make money and a lot of money, you should really listen to this episode because we're about to drop some dimes and get you through here to make sure that you guys are all set up to scale your companies by the end of this podcast. So what do you say, Kyle?
Let's do it, man. Let's dive on in.
Let's do it. Awesome. Well, before we get diving in, Kyle, how was your week? How are things over in Florida? Staying safe and healthy?
Yeah, good, healthy, bit busy, just last minute projects, kind of coming in, helping out, wrapping those up. Just came off a 3-day production, and have another production tomorrow, and then just wrapping up big edits. Again, yeah. I think you guys are going to be hearing about me talk about it for maybe almost half of the season. I'm working on this commercial campaign. And so
still working on that campaign.
Yeah. And I'm digging myself bigger holes, but they're holes I love to be in, you know? So I'm going out actually to Monterey, to film at Pebble Beach for the National Kidney Foundation, in January. And so because of that, I called up a couple clients, them being one of them. So now I'm going to be in LA for a bit. So Harrison, we'll have to try and connect.
Hey.
But I'll be there for a couple days. And so we're going to be filming some more content. So I'll have more edits for them as well. But anyways, enough about me. What's up with you, man? How are you?
Yeah, things are good. Jump Studios is cruising right now. Things are getting to a groove. We just actually opened up a Slack channel for Jump Studio folks, that media business owners that want to chat business with us, that want to talk about Jump Studios, that want to talk and network together. So we'll put to the link to join that Slack channel where Kyle and I are in, into the description for this podcast, and you guys can join us there. Great way to talk about growing your video business in that offline manner. So that's going great. It's a great time of year, Christmas. I love Christmas. And I'm in upstate New York now, so it's snowing. So snow and Christmas, perfect. But for business-wise, how does your business segue from, is this a slower time of year for you? And then things start to pick up late January? Because for me, on my side of things, I always ended up with I'd have a feature that run until December 10th or 15th. For some reason, I always had a feature that ran in this time of the month. And then I wouldn't work again until middle to end of January. And then February 1st got crazy busy. How does it feel for you and your side of the game?
It's a bit of the same, man, to be honest. I've been fortunate enough to have a good network. And good friends around me. So, I just came off a 3-day production where I was cam hopping for 3 days. And then I'm actually going to be, on another production tomorrow. Going to be, key gaffing, tomorrow. So, just side projects, things I'm just doing for fun, with some buddies, getting some extra money while I'm doing a lot of editing. Right now, kind of some beginning conversations are going on with some companies that are, a bit, I guess, ahead of things for Q1. I just did a production for a company actually for Q1 or 2 or 3 actually, but nonetheless, yeah, I mean, everything is kind of more around, late January and February. So, I'm in the same boat.
Hey, well, it's a great time of the year in the sense that we got to prepare our books. We got to prepare for taxes. So it is a downtime, which it is for most. this is the time to really take advantage of doing your bookkeeping, your taxes, getting things in order. So once things do get busy in the beginning of the next year, you could just take off and get, you know, have everything in hindsight, right? So Definitely. Let's get right into talking about creating your business account, why you need to create one, how to create one, go about it like that, right? So I'll just kind of lay out the basics, and then we'll kind of talk about pros and cons of each, right? So in order to create a business account, you need to have a business entity, right? So you either need to have some kind of DBA you're doing business as. And that is a way where you can do business under a different name. So you can have your company name, company logo and stuff, and actually do business with that company name, but it's still associated and tied to you on a personal level. So in terms of liability, it's not saving you at all or anything like that, but you can open a business account with a DBA account compared to maybe an LLC. We'll get more into that later. LLC also gives you this ability, but you can't just open a business account for your own personal self. You know, you need to have some kind of business entity to open that for, right? So when you open a business account, it gives you access to different lines of, you know, business credit and business opportunities that they have available for business accounts. And I think one of the things, one of the pros about it is you can separate your personal and your business expenses, right? So all of your business stuff, all of your write-offs, all the deductibles and whatnot, clearly categorized into business account, not messing up with your personal, right? Kyle, how do you approach your business bank account for your company?
I mean, kind of just exactly how you said. So, I mean, I have one predominant bank account that I use for my business.
Like a checking account?
Yeah, just a business checking. Okay. And then I also have a secondary account, which I use for foreign transactions for my business.
Oh, interesting.
So it's just... separated from that business checking account, but it's still, mm-hmm. I guess, connected to my overall account, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. And then, yeah, I mean, then I have my, personal checking, then savings and such, but, you know, that's really it.
I like that. I like the idea of having, because you do a lot of international stuff, a lot of affiliate deals, sponsor deals, like one-off stuff where, yeah, you have partnerships and relationships with them, but you're still sending them your account, right? So I like the idea of having like a separate international account only to also, you know, protect your main business account.
Exactly. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, it's mainly just for, foreign transactions, but, you know, I have had a couple productions too, where, you know, for me, it's just helpful to actually put it there, to
keep that separated.
Well, keep it separated, but
multiple.
But also just to kind of have all of the money in the picture there, right, in a bank statement if I want to print it out for that kind of that production in itself. So sometimes I almost use it as just a secondary form of record keeping for a single production if it's going to be a really big one.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Do you have a business credit card?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, that is the business right there. Business credit cards. There you go. Why I love business credit cards is points, right? You know, you spend a lot of money renting stuff, booking stuff, right? Might as well get some of that money back in the form of points, right? Build up that business line of credit. Business line of credit was a really big factor in my career, you know, 2 to 3 years into it, because all of a sudden I had like a $40,000 credit limit, right? And then it's like, oh, okay, now I can start floating, you know, expenses while I'm waiting for more money to come in from the client, right, and all that kind of stuff. And that gave me more opportunity as a small business owner to control my finances and cash flow for bigger projects. So, you know, getting that business credit card early on, build up points, establish that line of credit could really help. You know, and kind of switching it over quickly to longer form stuff. So you were talking about, hey, you got a big project you like to have almost like a separate account for if you can. What we did for feature films is for every feature film, we opened up an LLC. Matter of fact, for the big ones, we opened up two. So we'd have one, which would be like our daily production LLC, and we'd keep like zero assets in it, right? And then we'd have another asset LLC where we kept all of our assets in. So that way, you know, our daily production LLC assumed all of the liability, all of the risk, right? So if someone got injured on set, they could sue that LLC, but that LLC would have no assets in it. And they couldn't touch the other LLC that had all the assets. And when you got a feature film, you might be dealing with millions of dollars. You need to separate those entities in that way, right?
Check the money.
So Exactly. And so for feature films like that, we'd create, you know, one or two LLCs and then bank accounts, right? And that's kind of how we would do it. And every feature film, we'd open an LLC, open a business account, and then we'd close it down after each time, right? Keep it really clean and whatnot. So for bigger projects, I like to do that. But, you know, we can segue now into talking about LLCs and, you know, when to incorporate, when to form an LLC, right? I think LLC is a buzzword of like, oh, I got to form my LLC still, right? And it's like, yeah, that's a thing, but it also comes with a lot of responsibility, you know, forming an LLC. Like, you have annual taxes. You need to fill out your taxes in a certain manner, meaning you normally need an accountant to help you fill out your taxes once you have an LLC. And there's other, like, filings and deadlines that you need to abide by once you get an LLC. So there's pros and cons of it. But I think the big thing we want to talk about in this picture is when to go for it, right? I kind of lay the groundwork, and then Kyle, you can reverse engineer and kind of talk about how you approached it.
Sure.
You know, what I like to do personally is, hey, if you're making $10,000 or less, you could probably just operate as a personal. Again, this is no legal advice. We're just trying to help you out. do what's best for you. But $10,000 or less, you probably don't even need a DBA. You can get a DBA at that point, but that's just like side income, you know, side cash, right? $10,000 a year or less, $10,000 a year or less. If you go over $10,000 a year, maybe $20,000, I'd look into DBA, right? You want to be official. You want to be like on your contracts, your business name and all that kind of stuff, because you're starting to actually make decent money, right? Then I think once you hit over $30,000, maybe even $25,000 a year, that's when it's probably time to look into an LLC, because it's like, hey, this is actually turning into a situation where there's real money coming in. And I'm looking to position this as a long-term asset that I can grow and keep getting bigger each year and keep making more money. And that's when it would probably make sense for me to form an LLC. I know there's a lot of different types of corporate structures that you could look into and talk to your lawyer about. LLC is the most popular one for this type of business. It's called limited liability company, limited liability corporation. You could do a single member LLC, and it's an easy way to get started as a single member corp or an LLC or something like that. So, Kyle, how did you think about getting into the business of having your own LLC?
Yeah, I mean, I just knew it was, you know, something that I had to do. You know, luckily, I've had a good influence just, you know, with my parents. And so, you know, those things that these kind of, I guess, things were kind of instilled at me from like a young age. And so I've always kind of had a mindset, to kind of, you know, do this and get, legally registered. So, you know, for me, it was just figuring out like when was the right time to make that jump. So kind of similar to what you said, you know, I was making maybe somewhere from like 10,000 to 15,000 a year, off of random projects, before I moved down to Florida. Then I moved down to Florida in 2016. And then I just worked my tail off down there, and, I was probably making, or I've made close to 15 to 20K. In about 8 months on the side while I was working for the Magic. And nice. I had landed a couple retainer clients that guaranteed me, about another 40. And so at that point I left the Magic, and went full time on my own, and filed for LLC. So that was kind of my initial process. And then I think it was, you know, after two and a half years, I was like close to, or I slightly went over the limit, you know, I think it's like 3 years or something like that. And then you can't change what you're registered as, or at least it's that way in Florida. But I was able to, revert back with the IRS, and kind of, you know, file and get that, or kind of refile, if you will. So now I'm an S corp, officially, but, yeah, initially I went in as LLC.
Yeah, like I said earlier, talk to your accountant, your lawyer about the best way to structure it. You know, once you're at Kyle's level, an S corp could help you get more taxes back, but it's also more filings that you need to make, right? So, again, something you want to strategize with your team to figure this out. But that sounds all about right. You know, one of the benefits of having an LLC is you can start to have like business expenses, tax write-offs, right? And at the end of the year, you can look at all of your income, all of your expenses. And look at things like, you know, gear that you paid for and, you know, your Adobe membership and all stuff and just write it off from your income, right? And you could start to have, you know, a good amount of write-offs where, that helps you pay less money in taxes at the end of the year, you know? So that's definitely one of the benefits of that. Also, going back to what I said earlier is it's that limited liability aspect of, you know, if you're running a production, productions are high risk, right? And if it's through your LLC and someone gets hurt on set, then the first entity responsible is the LLC and not you personally, right? Now, there are some ways where you're still tied to that. And it's, again, it's important for you to know what that may involve. But initially or generally, it is the liability falls on that entity, which is what you want, right? Because you're running a business, you're trying to make money, you're trying to grow a career. You don't want to shoulder the liability of always having to have, you know, like, well, if someone falls on my set, I'm going to, you know, be out of, I'm going to go bankrupt and stuff like that, right? So having that liability separated from yourself is really one of the main benefits of this and the smart way you want to start thinking about that. Any other pros or cons? I guess in Florida, what do you pay each year for your LLC to keep it afloat?
Like in taxes, my annual fees? Renewal? Yeah. I think it's like 152.
Damn.
What
California,
do you pay? What'd you pay? You paid like 600, 700?
800.
800. Was the oh my God.
Was
gosh,
the minimum. Yo. Minimum.
Florida.
You paid over 800 if you made a certain amount of money. So yeah, it was minimum 800 every year.
Dang, man.
Yeah.
I'm over here pitching because I gotta pay a city and a county tax.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that. So it differs for every state, right? And another thing you want to look into, I personally create my LLCs online at inkfile.com. Okay. That's just been like a really affordable place for me to do it. Not a sponsor or anything like that, but if that can help you, great.
What's that process, you know, when, like?
Man, it's quite easy. I think it's just a couple hundred dollars, depending on what state you're in. You go online, talk about, you know, what entity, like name and stuff that you want, right? Right. They walk you through all the steps. They do all the filing for you. And then they'll send you a really nice booklet in the mail with, like, you know, your board of resolution and, like, all that kind of stuff that you need to operate as a corporation. Pretty quick and easy, quite frankly. So inkfile.com, I like them a lot for that. You know, let's move on over to business insurance. You know, this is something where you have business insurance and then you also have production insurance. And these are kind of two different things, right? For the most part. Kyle, do you carry any, what kind of insurance do you carry, if any?
Yeah, so I have, you know, just some general business insurance. Then I have insurance to specifically protect my camera gear a bit more. It is protected under my general business insurance, but only to an extent, and under very specific circumstances. So I have that. And then for specific productions, you know, I'll get, additional insurance if need be. But again, those are generally productions that have a lot of money and, high risk things, you know, involved. So, JJ, you know, what about you? Like, what's your situation, when it comes to insurance, or what was your situation, you know, when you were producing a lot more on projects?
Yeah. So I carried an annual policy for quite a while for my own company. I think it was 2 years or 3 years. We had an annual policy, and that essentially meant that I had $1 million in general liability. I had $1 million in workers' comp. And then $100,000 in rented gear that I would carry on an annual basis. And I paid about $5,000 to $6,000 a year for it.
Okay.
Right. And so all of my productions that I did, I'd have the ability to issue certificates of insurance to those vendors. And that essentially say, hey, vendor, here is my insurance. my insurance, like not requirements, but my details for my insurance, like the coverages that I carry. And I am naming you as someone that I am insuring for this production, and AKA I got you covering you, right?
Yep.
A lot of vendors require you to issue a certificate of insurance to them.
Yep.
We call them COIs. Very simple document, just lists all of your insurance coverages. You name them on the certificate, you issue it, you send it to them, and that's good. And then you can rent from them, right? And so when bigger productions, when we were renting more than $100,000 worth of gear, I would up my policy just for that production. But otherwise, I'd be pretty good at that $100,000 limit. And you know, the workers' comp was great because if anyone got injured on my set, they would be covered through workers' comp. The general liability was great because there were times where people ran a truck into a tree or a truck into a house, right? Or we overflowed a bathroom and water got under the tiles and we had to redo the bathroom. General liability handled all of that, right? So again, you know, for that example that I just gave you, water overflowed under the bathroom, like on the bathroom. Water got on the bathroom floor, which it's like, hey, this is a bathroom. It's supposed to have water on it anyways. But they didn't maintain it. The water got into the grout and got under the tiles, and we had to do a whole new bathroom floor for them, right? And that was like $10,000. And insurance covered everything. I had to pay a $500 deductible. Can you imagine if I would have had to do that without insurance? You know, like,
oof.
I made $5,000 on that video, and it took me a month to produce from start to finish, right? I would have lost $5,000 for working for a month. And it's like, that's bad business. I'm not doing business to do bad business, right? So that's, I bring up that example to show the importance of insurance.
Yeah.
Yes, it's $5,000 a month. It sucks paying that. But what I would do is I would just add that into my production budget of like, hey, this is a $30,000 music video. And this video is going to cost $750 to get insurance for that video. And that's just a line item in the budget. I'd pay myself and go towards what my company would pay towards insurance, right? And I'd make sure we're covered that way. And so it's just one of those things, right? I didn't carry any other business insurance other than that because that was enough for my own business and the productions that I was doing through my business. It's, you know, it's one of those things where you I know it's expensive, but it find a way to get it.
Yeah.
There's even policies, you know, Athos Insurance is a great provider. I know, yep. I think you use them as well, Kyle. There's even situations where you could do like a smaller limit of just like medical, where it's just like you could take out like a $200-$300 policy and they'll cover like up to $20,000 of medical expenses for like a production, right? So it's like, hey, I'm doing a high risk production. I have no insurance. But I could take out like a $250 premium. And if anyone gets injured, they'd cover like 20 grand of medical bills. Like that's so worth it, right? And that's like thinking forward. That's thinking of ways to protect you and your company going forward. And that's kind of the mindset that you need to have with insurance of like, you know, can I afford a basic level? If so, what does that cover? Get to know like the coverage, what it gives you and what it doesn't give you. Be familiar with that. And then when you approach a production or environment or shoot that requires something that might inherently provoke risk or give you risk, think about how you're going to cover yourself and your production and your crew for that, right? At the same time, you know, we work with a lot of our good friends. We don't want our good friend to get injured on set and then they look at you and say, hey, am I good? And you're like, no, you're not, because I got nothing to cover you with. Your shit, you know, SOL, right? You don't want that either, right? So there's a lot of things that can go wrong without insurance. So not going to hammer it at home anymore. It's important. Look into it if you can get it.
Yes.
Find a way to get it. It's great for your business to keep your business afloat and to keep your financials good for a long time coming. So why don't we segue into bookkeeping and budgeting? I'll let you start it off with whatever one of those things you want to get into, and then I'll finish it up on the back end.
Yeah. I mean, I guess just, you know, to start, I would just talk about the importance of bookkeeping in and of itself. So right from the bat, you know, I would personally recommend QuickBooks. I love using it. If you're at a smaller scale, you can look at QuickBooks Self-Employed. That's a really good option. It's cheaper and more affordable. There's another great app called Everlance that I used to use. But I think QuickBooks is a bit more, innovative, if you will, and user friendly. But you know, aside from those apps, you know, I think bookkeeping is just really, really important for so many reasons. One, obviously, like to keep your business afloat. This might be arguably the most important thing. But you know, just being in full control of your business, you know, and not letting your finances kind of control you, you kind of being in control of your money, if you will. So knowing how much, you know, how many expenses you have, how much income you have, what does that break down on a monthly and a weekly basis? Where are all these expenses coming from? You know, like, you know, maybe you opened a studio up and you thought it was a really good idea, but you know, you're only making $600 a week from photo shoots and your studio's costing you I don't know, two grand a month. Well, you know, that plus all the expenses, you know, you're not really making any money, you know, so it's kind of hurting you more than it's helping you. So I think bookkeeping is vital for all those reasons, but again, I think the key thing is, again, kind of for tax purposes, but if you really want to grow and scale your business, you need to be able to see the finances. You know, I think we actually even talked about it in some of our earlier episodes, JJ. You know, like I think I mentioned, like, finding your, when we talk about finding your niche, you know, like, look for what you're passionate about, but also look at where the most money's coming from, you know, where you're excelling at, where most of your clients are coming from. And you can't really do that if you don't have bookkeeping, if you don't understand where your money is coming from. What are your thoughts on bookkeeping, JJ?
Yeah. And this also goes right into kind of preparing for taxes each year is having good books, right? Like, I always, in the beginning, meet with my accountant to talk about how I should structure my books for the year. So at the end of the year, I could just bring those books that have already been structured to my accountant and he could just process it. Saves me a bunch of time and money because it's just cheaper for him because everything's ready to go, right? So understand how to process your bookkeeping for your accounting system that you have in place with your accountant, right? That's important. But also, you know, like, I love QuickBooks. I, you know, wrote all my checks in QuickBooks. I assigned them to contractors in QuickBooks. QuickBooks gave me ability of, like, hey, I had subcontractors. And then if I pay those subcontractors over $600 each year, they'd automatically fill out the 1099s that I'd have to send out for each of those subcontractors at the end of the year. So that's automated. And that's, again, that's just like time that it's saving you from having to do at the end of the year. So automating that also, it gives you a clear breakdown of like how much money you're spending on each project. So you can actually see what your P&L it looks like, right? Like, a big thing about bookkeeping is on the back end, you get to see actually how much money you're making, which informs you of like how good your budgeting is, right? Because for each project, we put together a budget, right? And it's hard to budget because there's a lot of unforeseen expenses, but you need to know how you're doing with your budgeting. Because if you don't really know, then you could just keep budgeting bad for the whole year and then realize you're not making any money after all, right? So like, you need to have good bookkeeping structure so you can look at the health of your business, which is your P&L statement. What are your margins? Does this look good? You know, do you have an opportunity to hire more people, right? You need to have all that data so you can make those business decisions so you can grow your business, right? So it all goes together, bookkeeping, tracking your expenses. You know, like when I'm on production or in production, you know, I have my credit cards linked to my QuickBooks. All my expenses are in there and I'm just tagging those expenses for where they're going for each line item or, you know, category, right? And just doing it real time. So that way at the end of the year, I don't have to do all of that tagging because I forget. I don't know what all those expenses were, but during the moment, in production and post-production, I'll categorize it then, get that out of the way. You know, if I might do 20 to 30 projects a year, that way, you know, at the end of the year, everything's already been categorized. Everything's good, you know, so that's a great way to do it. You know, for bigger films and stuff, we always did wrap books too. And that was essentially like one book that contained all of the documents, all of your contracts, all of your expenses, your budgets, your script, everything. So if you ever had to go back to that project for any reason, you had everything right there in that wrap book. And that was good practice for us as well. And that also helped prepare for our taxes at the end of the year because we had everything right there. So if we missed something when we brought it to our account, it was really easy to find because it was really well kept in an organized folder.
Right, right. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you want to keep receipts, you know, you want to log your mileage, you want to figure out, you know, like, what can you write off as business? Like, if you work from home, you can write off, like, part of your home, like, where your office is. You can work, obviously, write off your mileage, you can write off your camera, your even your Netflix subscription in some cases, because that's industry research, or movie theater stuff, out to eat stuff with business or clients, right? So getting to know what you can and cannot write off is really advantageous for this process. You know, so I think, you know, when it comes to bookkeeping, tracking your expenses, all that prepares you for tax at the end of the year. I think one thing that I also want to mention for taxes is, you know, I would also be putting money aside each month to make it so if I do owe money at the end of the year for taxes, it's not just like a random shoot, I owe $5,000 kind of thing, right? Like, that's part of, like, we talked about contingencies within your budgets, like a 20% contingency for all budgets. That's like the WTF fund, right? Like, I always like to have like a 5 to 10% contingency in like my business account of just like, hey, I'm always going to keep like $5,000 or $10,000 in here that it's not my money. I'm not going to spend. But if anything comes up big, then, you know, I have that. But if not, then I can, you know, maybe disperse some of it at the end of the year to myself. Right. So, you know, just think of it like that, like carry a balance in your account, be prepared to have any kind of taxes or LLC fees or accounting or lawyer fees, like, you know, be good in that sense and don't just take all the money for yourself that's in your business account. I understand that's hard to do, and but it's best to, you know, have that little cushion set aside for rainy days and stuff like this.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, anything else that we might be missing before we wrap up these subjects? You know, I understand that it's hard running a business as a small business owner, media production company, video production company. You know, we got into it to be creatives. We got into it to make awesome projects. We didn't get into it to run a small business, to do the bookkeeping, to figure out insurance, corporate structures, and all that kind of stuff. So I know, like, hey, this is probably overwhelming. This is probably boring. You don't want to do this stuff. Like, you're probably thinking, who can I find to do this for me? Right. Like, at the end of the day, by being able to do this, it's power. It's giving you the ability to figure this out on your own, and to leverage it so you can build a bigger company. Right. And so don't run away from it. If you're intimidated by it, it's fine. You know, take baby steps, get up there, talk to some lawyers, accountants, free consultations, figure out what you need to do. Take one step at a time, put baby steps into place, figure out when it's time for you to take those steps, and you'll get there, right? It's very obtainable. Millions of small businesses do this each year. You can do it too. And if your media production company is something that you want for the long term, that you want to turn into an asset to make a lot of money with, it's these steps that we just listed that you should be thinking about taking in the near future if you haven't already.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I guess the only thing I would really add would be, you know, I know when you mentioned that you filed for your LLC through Inc.com, and again, I don't
ink file.
Or ink file, yeah. Sorry. Again, I don't know how this differs from state to state into the difficulty, but I remember I was going to file for LLC originally in Florida through LegalZoom, and I think I was going to be paying like $340 or like $400 or something like that. And luckily,
I
talked to my uncle who's a lawyer, and he told me about, like, dude, just go in, just go.
You can do it directly.
Yeah, just go right into the offices and do it. And so that's what I did, and it was really, really simple. Got paperwork, and it cost me, again, like initially when I did it with the city was like maybe like $40 or $60, and then I had to do it with the county as well, just based on, you know, where I live and where I'm trying to register, was trying to register my business and everything. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. No, you're back. You're back now.
Riverside.
Yeah, I had to do it with the Riverside. Riverside, motherfucker.
Just based on where I live and I was trying to register my business, I had to go into the city and the county and register both. So there was that aspect of it. So a little nuisance there, but it was really, really easy. And again, it saved me a ton of money. And I'm glad I did it in the fact of, you know, I think I learned a lot and grew a lot from the process as well. So I would encourage all of you guys to, again, as JJ mentioned, like, don't be intimidated by the process. It's really not overwhelming, and you know, just make sure that you're asking questions. As JJ mentioned, you know, so talk to your lawyers, or if you know anyone who's a lawyer, talk to your accountant if you have one, or your family's accountant if your parents or some buddies have one. Just get some advice on your path, where you're at now with your financials and your standings, and you know, where you're kind of looking to be in the future. And then JJ, as JJ said, you know, just stay on top of things. I don't personally file things right away, right when I get it. Personally, I only do that with mileage, because mileage I will definitely forget, but I'm pretty good with receipts. So I'll just take photos, and what I like to do is one day every week I go through and I file all my receipts for that week, and take care of all of that. So that's kind of my process. But, again, as JJ mentioned, you know, just find a process, make sure you're staying on top of it. I wouldn't procrastinate on it, because you don't want to get behind on the receipts, because that's really, you're going to make money back, in essence, you know, by keeping those. So the more receipts you can keep, you know, and prove that you were kind of, you know, spending money for your business, the more money you'll kind of save, if you will, every year.
Yep. Ditto. I totally agree. Let's hop into, Jump Studios quickly. This segment is now kind of about, you know, talking about features that we're thinking about for Jump Studios, where the platform's going, and just riffing on what's possible for content creators using Jump Studios. Last time we talked about email, adding the ability to email clients through Jump Studios. Mm-hmm. Talked about that a good bit. That's definitely on the list to create in the near future. The next big thing that we're looking at creating, though, is our contract library for Jump Studios, which fits into this episode perfectly, right? And so the way I'm visioning this, Kyle, and then I'll start and then we can riff from there, is we've already prepared about a dozen contracts, templates, right, that you can use for your video business. Retainer agreements, release forms, location agreements, you know, production agreements, music video agreements, etc., right? Like, give you guys all these templates that you can use for your company. So that way you can, you know, send them to your clients. And so we'd upload the templates to Jump Studios. We would enable you to dynamically fill out the information in those fields. So like your company name, all that kind of stuff would automatically be filled out, because you've created a company in Jump Studios. We have that info, so we can just automatically fill it out. And then also the client side, you've also created a client in Jump Studios, so we can also automatically fill out all the client information of their name, their address, etc., all that, right? Yep. And then we can create a unique URL for you, where you can send that client, or just like you send a video review link, you send that contract to your client. They click on the URL, they go to that the webpage, they could see the contract, digitally sign that contract. When they digitally sign it, they could just download a PDF of the contract that they wanted for the records. And then you'd be notified that the client has signed the contract, and then you could also download that, right? And then within your project, you could see contracts for that project, all the contracts that you've created for that project and that have been completed for that project. And then later on in the future, we could also have automations trigger, where this is where I get really excited too, is like you could have a you know, like a simple production agreement, right? And it's like a 70% upfront, 30% when you finish it, right? So in a situation like this, you could create an automation and say, hey, when this simple production agreement is signed, automatically send them an invoice for the first 70%, right? And start to create automations like that, because again, we can automate this stuff. Why don't we just automate it, save you the time? So that's where I'm thinking with contract library. Am I missing anything? Anything that we should add? What are you thinking, Kyle?
Man, yeah. I mean, I just think it's really important that, again, you know, it's very user friendly, intuitive, reads easy. As you mentioned, you know, easy kind of drop and fill. But I think what's important too is that we can make things amendable in the contracts, you know? So if we want to make changes, or alterations to these contracts, or the client name or email, different things like that, I've had different requests like that, or just, you know, the client doesn't like how, a certain phrase or paragraph reads, they want that revoked or changed somehow to read different. And so being able to kind of make those changes, you know, I think would be an important aspect of it as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think you need to have that. And so you'd have the ability to edit these templates, right? So you can have that ability. And to that extent, maybe even allowing the clients to leave notes on those contracts if they want to just cross out a certain section could expedite that back and forth to get your contract signed.
Yeah, actually, that'd be great if there was a way, you know, they could just kind of, you know, even if it's just a red mark, you know, a red mark by it and then leaving like a, that auto leaves like a dash for you to just initial by to initial the change or something like that. Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be nice.
Yeah. And then you probably want the ability to upload your own contracts too, right? Because if you've already prepared all your contracts, you could have that ability to upload your own then.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, same thing with the emails. Yeah. You know, if you already got basic email templates, you know, wanting that as well. But yeah, especially with the contracts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's we didn't think about that last time with emails. That's a good point. Yeah, this is all doable. And I think this could really help content creators save time and money, right? Like, from our research so far, and listeners, let us know if we're wrong. Let us know if we're missing anything here, because we are building this for you. From our research, folks at this stage don't really, 2 to 3 years in, so they're just starting to send contracts, and they're probably not using it until they get videos at like the 5 to 10,000 level, and it maybe is a retainer contract, simple production agreements at that point. Probably not even using talent releases yet or location releases yet. And I think a lot of it is due as one, I don't know how to do it. And then two is I don't have the legal fees to pay to prepare all these for me. Right. And then three, it's just a hassle. So if we could help you learn how to use it, right, through this podcast, and then two, give you all these templates to cut down all the legal fees, and then three, make it really easy for you to use, hopefully you'll use it, because then you're protecting yourself and your business by using it. And that means you could stay in business longer. And that means you could use Jump Studios longer. So it's a win-win, right? We want to help you succeed, because that means we are succeeding. So that's how I see it personally.
Yeah, man. That'd be awesome. I would also say, you know, with Jump Studios, or I guess not say, I would ask, you know, where do you think we're at, timeline wise with something like this? Like, where do you see this coming in the future for us?
Yeah. So this is episode 5, right? So at this moment of the recording, I'd say we're 2 months out from our contract library. I'd say that's, you know, definitely doable. We might even hit that before that. So I'd say within the next 2 months, you know, and so right around the corner.
Awesome, man. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, hey, if we have nothing else to finish this off, then let's finish off this episode with a bang. Thank you guys for listening to episode 5. I hope this gave you everything that you needed to know about structuring your business to set it up for long-term success. If you have questions, join our Slack channel. We'll, you know, leave the link in the description of this bio. We'll do what we can to help you there. Set up with Jump Studios, get your business set up there. That'll help you as well. Contact us on Instagram. You can find Kyle at Cal Visuals.
Yes.
You can find myself at JJ Englert. You can find the podcast at Learn Videography and at
Drop Industry a review. Jumper. Leave us a review.
Reviews. Hey, we just crossed 50 reviews. Thank you for that. But hey, if we can get to 100, let's get to 100, baby, you know? So let's get those reviews going. We really appreciate it. Shout out to our producer, Harrison Chase. Shout out to our editor, Michael James Hall. You guys are the real MVPs. Appreciate you. We'll catch you next week for episode 6. It's going to be another doozy. So hope to have you there. Otherwise, this is Learn Videography signing out. See you guys.
See ya.